Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into college basketball season around here, and we used to call it baseball spring training, but it's been a weird one, certainly for college basketball, and I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of all of the courts and say that I've not watched a lot of college basketball, by, the last 90 days here the way I normally do. I don't know that I have a whole lot of confidence in the season ending, which will make this an interesting conversation because usually ex-coach Naki and I are throwing around X's and O's on the Terrapins, and I threw a note out to your partner Johnny Holiday as well. I guess I just haven't been as interested in December and January to run around and say, hey, I wonder how the Terps are doing. So, coach, how are the Terps doing? How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks, Nestor. It's great to see you again. Great to hear your voice as well. So, you know, the results have been kind of middling for the Terps, no question about it. Been an up-and-down season. And I think I totally get what you're saying about the season. You know, one of the best parts about college hoops is the energy, you know, the crowd, the pomp and circumstance of a huge home game.
It's awesome, baby!
It's completely lost. It's such a sterile environment. And one of the things that sort of underscores that, too, is how often road teams are winning this year. You know, there's no real road game. Every game's the same. You go in, there might be 100, you know, 200 people there in terms of game operations, things like that. Now, some states are a little different where they're starting to allow in fans in a trickle. Texas, you know, Florida, of course, you know, the likely suspects. And so they're a little bit different. But for the most part, yeah, it's a completely different sport than the one we left last March. And it's kind of sad.
Well, and I feel that about all of sports. You know, I've been sitting here, I've been having fun going through my old Orioles ticket stubs and, you know, having some fun with old memories after Hank Aaron died and thinking about the value of sports and what's missing. And for me, you know, I'm a music guy, right? And I've been going through all my old memorabilia and stuff, just passing time, as they say, during the plague.
Right.
Trying to make myself useful at nights, not you know, driving down to College Park in the snow or to hockey games or things that have taken up a lot. I mean, I have the ticket stubs. I have the evidence. I have the receipts of what has taken up the nights of my life.
Yeah.
And the concert part of it's even more so because people, it's all about gathering. Every meal, every beer, every concert, every ball game, every trip. It's all about like bringing people together. And when you can't bring people together, the music part for me, it would be like seeing the Stones and having them in my living room. But just for me, it wouldn't be a whole lot of fun, man. I went down to Houston with the Ravens week two of the NFL, and I sat on the roof in that stadium where they played Super Bowls. No one there, 38 of us in a press box, masked up all, and I'm thinking, the hell am I doing here? And I guess the NFL, I bought into the movie. You know, I got into it. I watched it. You know, it felt like if you were a gambler, you could gamble on it. If you were a fan, you could fan on it. And it was cool. All the rest of it, now that we're 12 months into it, has felt like an Eddie Fainter weekend tournament, you know, and that's what I keep going. No disrespect to Eddie Fainter because he brought the heat, but it was an exhibition. It's not a season. All of these things have felt like tournaments.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. At its core, the fact that they're playing a college basketball season smacks of a cash grab anyways. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I've brought that up plenty of times. I'm almost offended by it.
It goes against the grain of what, you know, best practices should be, right?
I haven't hugged my kid in a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I get it. My daughter works in the Maryland basketball office, so she's in that bubble with them. She gets tested every day, and it's sad how little I get to see her. As a result of sort of her environment, her situation that
she's tier one and you're tier not, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm so unimportant. Yeah. So I'm a cog in the machine.
But you guys are doing the game aside, right? Like you're away from the court. Give me a little, like, catch me up, dude. I swear to God, I haven't watched the dribble and I'm not proud of that or say that it hasn't found me.
Yeah.
I haven't found it. And I've been working on life and doing a whole bunch of other things with my new company to, you know, on the other side of this thing to make our city and our lives better and hoping to keep the baseball team here. bring me up to speed. Like, I mean, you're going in and off of campuses a little bit, right?
So off of a campus, we go to College Park and that is it. We okay. go. So for home games, we have two suites. We are appropriately distanced. There are five of us in the broadcast crew. There's an engineer, a stat guy. There's Johnny. And then there's Walt and I. Walt and I are in our own suite. Separated. Johnny and the stat guy, Johnny's throne and the stat guy are all in a different suite. And so, so at any rate, we're at midcourt, we're elevated, off the court. Again, very sterile environment.
Couple hundred people. I mean, are...
tops, you know, there might be, and two dozen, you know, a dozen of those are probably media. There are media does come to the game.
I saw Ginsburg down there the other day, by the way, congratulations on retirement for him.
Yeah, they gave him a really nice ovation for the folks that were in there. They put him on the big board in, during halftime and stuff. What, nice guy, really nice guy, and good for him. Great run, great career. But for away games, Nestor, we go in there, we sit in the press room at Xfinity, and we've got these two huge monitors. One has the game feed from TV, whatever outlet's showing it.
The place where I eat potato chips when I come down there.
There you go. Except that room. We have no food. We have, you know, unless we bring in something, we don't have.
Did they take the cooler out of the corner? Did they take the cooler?
And that's locked up. We're basically, we got nothing. And so, but it's almost like we're like everybody else. We're just a bunch of guys yelling at a TV feed. You know, we're like anybody sitting at home yelling at a screen. So that's the way it is. Nobody else in the Big Ten, none of the other crews are traveling. We haven't seen an away radio crew since Pete Medhurst came with Navy in November, or whenever that was, November. I think it was late November when they came in. So everybody's doing the same thing. And that's
does it feel real? Does it feel like the issue for me, for the kids? And I mean, come on, you coach the game forever. I mean, these kids are playing hard. They're working hard. Amidst all of these conditions, it's nothing's normal about it. But the urgency from the fans and the people involved, I sense as a guy who's done sports radio for 29 years now, this is year 30 for me, coach, that this is different and it's not urgent. You know what I mean? And well, I don't know what else to call it.
It's hard. I can tell you what to call it because I feel it. I feel disassociated. And I think that's what, you know, and it's hard. And I'd be very curious for you too, Nestor, what it's going to feel like, because there will be March Madness in some way, shape, or form. There will be a March Madness. I don't know if you will jump on board at that point in time, but it's going to be a completely different. Can you imagine March Madness in an empty gym? That's not the same thing.
I was talking to Dick Girardi about this because, you know, all of you were out in Indianapolis when the mess happened last year, you know, getting ready for the Big Ten tournament. Now they're talking about the state of Indiana, like sort of, you know, rolling up their pants and bringing everybody in and having them play over at Butler and play down in Bloomington, maybe up at Purdue at Mackey, which is my favorite place.
No question.
I don't know. I don't know the players' names. I don't know the colors. I mean, I guess if a bracket came my way, I could circle some names and sit around on a Thursday. But part of it is the cheerleaders and the band and the crazy coaches and the fans that are there and the empty arenas, but sort of get crazy when Coppin starts beating South Carolina. And, you know, when those things are, excuse me, when UMBC starts beating Virginia, I get that in there. Well, Coppin's our partner. You know, we do the Coppin games, coach. And, you know, there have been phone calls, we can't get it in today, whatever, and then the ice storms come. So the notion of getting the games in and who you're playing, and Maryland played some team nobody ever heard of, right? So we're trying to get games in. Give me the mindset of the coaches, and like, I know you hung up the spikes, but I mean, put yourself in Turge's shoes or Bean or anybody at this point as to what on a day-to-day basis. You've told them your whole life basketball is important, and this is, you know, keep your focus over here. This is tough stuff right now, not just for basketball, for all the way around, right?
Yeah, and these guys are making incredible sacrifices, specifically the kids. I mean, they're not going out. They're not, you know, they're basically with each other every day, and that's pretty much it. Coaches have to make similar sacrifices. I can't speak to exactly how they're living their lives in the evenings or anything like that, but Maryland has been, you know, very fortunate. They haven't had any positive tests, knock on wood. They have not, had any hiccups in terms of the season. We
Keeping you away from your daughter's working.
So Maryland plays Nebraska each of these next two nights. Nebraska had a 3-week hiatus where they were just racked with it, including the head coach, Fred Hoiberg. So Izzo had it. Michigan ran through Michigan State. All sorts of teams have had it and had to go on pause. But Terps have been very fortunate that way. It does kind of make Hoops feel secondary for sure. Now, I say that because I feel so far away from it right now. I don't get a chance.
It feels secondary for you, and that's got to be weird for ex-coach Naki, right?
I have no access to the coaches. I haven't had a conversation off the air with Mark Turgeon since last March. You know, I haven't. So, I mean, any of his staff. I mean, I visit with his staff periodically, just via text or an occasional phone call. But for the most part, it feels a little surreal to me because this is unlike any season for anybody who's ever been involved in it.
Well, I mean, it happens quick because you never know if the games are going to happen, right? Like, you're talking to a guy that watched the Ravens and the Steelers play on a Wednesday afternoon, you know? So, you know, all things are possible. And to your point, you know, you get paid to do this, and I've made a living doing this for 30 years. The games are important to somebody for making money, but it's not the kids tying their sneakers, right? And that's always the weird part of this that comes to me every year on March Madness as a 52-year-old looking like he's making money, she's making money, they're making money. The ones playing are the only ones not making money. That's effed up. I mean, I've always felt that way about it, but I specifically think watching the ragamuffin football season and whatever the four games Ohio State decided to play and how all of that worked, that it's not the NFL and the college is fundamentally different, and fundamentally different because it says on the wall, you're here to learn. But how much the tail is wagged the dog with money in major sports and everyone that ever sold their soul to leave the ACC to go to the Big Ten.
Well, for anybody who ever thought it was anything, it was about anything other than money, this past college football season and this basketball season has sort of laid bare the reasons why these games are played. You know, if there were no NCAA tournament this year, that would adversely affect, you know, multiple sports, multiple athletic departments. I mean, there are people, you know, teams like, universities like Coppin, I mean, you know, that operate on a very slim margin as it is, you know, they depend on money from the tournament. They get money from the tournament. Non-revenue sports, Olympic sports, the so-called Olympic sports, absolutely rely on money from the men's college basketball tournament. So to not play it would be pretty devastating for a lot of different people. I get it. I know, you know, I've understood for a long time.
Man, break the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've understood for a long time. And I agree with you. I mean, considering who's putting in the effort and what they're doing now more than ever, they should be compensated for what they do.
But also, and you know, and this is no smack at you or your what you guys do, but like in coaching, but when Old State U ball coach is making $8 million a year, the horse has got to get the post, right? Like literally.
Well, I think if you looked at the highest paid state employee in any state in America.
Correct. It's ball coach X.
It's going to be probably a football coach, maybe a basketball coach. Yeah. So, and those things are those numbers are available for all public universities. So, you know, it has been involved in sports for a long time. Guys have been making a lot of dough running programs for
but because it oils itself. Absolutely. It goes and gets businesses and money and people and merchandise and right. History and more and more and more. And I've been going through all my old Duke Maryland tickets as well. They're not coming back either. But then when it stops, the wheel stops, you say, could they have an institution of higher learning without it?
Well, that's a good question. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure they could have an institution of higher learning, but there wouldn't be activities. There wouldn't be, you know, and you forget about the real ancillary sports, women's softball. You know, I mean, there are only three, maybe four sports that actually make any money. Actually, two are the ones that make the money. It's football, men's basketball. But, you know, again, we can go down this rabbit hole all day long and what the sports mean to colleges. I mean, I think there's an intrinsic value that they bring to universities. that help admissions, that helps in so many different ways.
It's spirit, literally. It's the same thing the Ravens and the Orioles bring to Baltimore. You know, it's the same thing a symphony or a museum brings to your town.
It's why a lot of people are wearing the gear. You know, the state view sweatshirts. You know, for God's sakes, I'm wearing a Washington Wizards sweatshirt right now. You know, I mean, I'm a homegrown. It's just it's what you do. You know, it's part of the local spirit for sure.
Have you been following other? I mean, dude, we're sports guys. I got 10,000 tickets from these are just the baseball games in my life. And they're only the ones with tickets. I mean, I've press passes for another 1,000 of them. This is just baseball. I've got football. I've got rock concerts. You know, all the stuff I've done with my life that's just sort of stopped. I'm trying to figure out the other end of this, certainly the finances of how all this is going to get greased and what we're going to miss the most, what we're going to want to do. I mean, right now I'm jonesing a beach and that would just fix me and I don't need to be around anybody. And at some point, you know, I'll get that once the weather works around. But man, a night at Merriweather with a beer out on the lawn. You know, and I'm just trying to figure out how we piece all this back together a year from now or 2 years from now, because to your point, whether it's college, all these, I mean, the Orioles, they're all just trying to get through it, get us a shot, get us a mask, and then go back to the way it was. Yeah. I don't know, man. Nothing ever goes back to the way it was.
Well, I mean, like you talk about music. I mean, I love going to events. I love going to concerts. But like, I mean, I'd have to think long and hard about going and standing, you know, at Anthem down on the wharf, you know, with 1,000 people sort of sardined together
and screaming songs together.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go to a baseball game or because I think you can effectively, you know, distance yourself for the most part. But I mean, I don't, you know, you'd think long and hard about your approach to a lot of events moving forward, short term.
And just handshakes and hugs and breathing and catching a cold in general. Like, oh, we've been wearing a mask for a year. I haven't had a sick day in a year.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's breathed on me in a year, right? So, well, hey, man, I love having you guys on. I love sports. I love basketball. Maryland, we're all behind you. I miss all of that. And yeah. I'm hoping that when the mojo gets going and I'm 50-something, you know, that some of this stuff will come back to me. And, and we'll have some normalcy, right?
Yeah, and I think it will. Hopefully, you know, I think obviously this year is going to be, you know, it's going to be played in a bubble. You mentioned Indianapolis will host now the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. So teams that from the Big Ten that are going to Indy that look like they're a lock for the NCAA tournament are just going to stay at Indy. The Big Ten does not want them traveling to and from home. So they'll stay in Indy from the Big Ten tournament right into the NCAA tournament, the next week.
I wish we're talking more bubbles, other kind of bubbles than this kind of bubble, the normal kind of bubbles that we have around here. But as far as for the future of scouting and, you know, the scouting profession had a huge loss last week as well. Kids playing ball in high school, AU, all of that. Give me a little primer on what this looks like when Bino's out trying to get the next 16-year-old kid right now into the pipeline to be a Terp in 23 or wherever it would be, that it's been just as disjointed at every level, even below the Big Ten, right?
No, that's just it, Nestor. Bino is not out because the coaches are in a perpetual, for now, dark period. They're not allowed to recruit off campus. They are recruiting the way you and I are talking. They are recruiting via Zoom right now. So you better have your Zoom game together, whether it's a presentation of here's what campus looks like, here's where
this is when mama's going to meet you in her living room, literally.
That's exactly right. So there is no, what is the Jerry Maguire line where he used to say, I was great in living rooms, you know? There's no such thing now. You, at least until the summer, these guys are not allowed off campus, and they have not been allowed off campus since last March. So it's been a perpetual dark period.
When Bino comes on Zoom next time, he better bring his A game. You know, I mean, look, I coached that kid when he was 9 years old. So everything that ever happens with him, I tell him, I said, Yeah, I need to see you cut down some nets one day just to, you know, it'll fulfill me.
There you
go. Missing in here, you know, so.
Live vicariously, no question.
That's what we're trying to do at this point, man. That's all we got. Last thing, and I'm having, like, friends on this week, right? Because I took a week down after the Super Bowl, and, you know, I'm doing a lot of politics. I have a lot of civic leaders and different people on. This is going to be a new part of my segment, all right? I'm going to try it out on you. I'm trying to get every guest to give me their favorite local restaurant and sort of a dish so that I can make a list. So like the next time I'm running around DC, because my wife and I are always talking about going down to Philomena and grabbing some bunch of stuff and bringing it home or something. I want to be able to do that. We're trying to do that in Baltimore. So I think that's going to become a part of my shtick now, is just to find out, because I like to eat, you know, and I'm getting tired of eating the same stuff, right? So I'm figuring, like, if you give me your favorite thing, you know, that I'll add that. And if at the end of the year, I'll have like 300 different things I can go check out.
I tell you what, I give it to you. There's a place here. There are two of these restaurants. One is in Hyattsville. The other one is here in Northern Virginia in Alexandria. It's a little Italian place called Fratelli's.
Fratelli's, okay.
Fratelli's. Legit, made from scratch, great pasta.
Spell that for me. I'm Googling it right now.
Fratelli's.
I got it right here. There's two locations there. Alex, three locations there. Okay. Oh, there's one in Hampstead. Oh, wow. Look at that. All right. I've driven by it. Okay. I know that. Okay.
Top notch, Nestor. And they, like, their lobster ravioli is fantastic, but they do a seafood dish in like a cream sauce. It's got scallops and shrimp and clams. It is just magnificent Italian food.
There you go. I like that. And I love that it's local. And it's I love this.
I'm not giving you Morton's, man.
It's fine. And hey, I do business with Bruce Chris, and I love Steve DeCastro. I want everybody to go there as well. They're local. But I'm just trying to get some new tips is all I'm trying to do.
There you go. There you go.
Appreciate you, man. Stay safe. Give you Johnny too. My best. Tell the Wizard I said what's up. And I'll be chasing all you down next couple weeks.
We are all Gen Strong.
Hey, my wife's doing great. It's been 5 years. She's doing awesome. She's going to see her mom later in the month for the first time in a year and a half. So we're trying to, like, you know, get out and live a little bit, right?
Good, good, good.
I'll see you at some point. It'll probably be over an Italian pizza or something.
Anytime.
There he goes. Ex-coach Nock. He's a way to find him out on Twitter. He is Chris Nock. He broadcasts the games over on the flagship, of course, with Johnny Holiday and the Wiz and the whole crew there, keeping the Terps where they are. I'm not sticking to sports around here. We're mixing some basketball, mixing some other stuff in, trying to make some conversation as well, some local dining as well. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.